Please rise. When he, Jesus, went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed them. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's certainly a great joy to be back, a great joy to be back in the pulpit. 5 weeks seemed like many, many months to me, but I'm very happy to be back. And today is a wonderful text, the feeding of the 5,000. And the feeding of the 5,000 has received little mercy at the hands of some and many, I should say, biblical scholars. Some picture it as a friendly, though very large, picnic. There the crowd is taught the great miracle of sharing by following the good example of Jesus and His disciples. Some teach that here the people were inspired to open their lunch baskets and to share with the less fortunate in their midst, to share with their friends and their neighbors. In other words, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is about the crowd. It's about the bread. It's about the fish. It's not about that whatsoever. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, there are some who totally disregard the historical circumstances, and they attempt to turn the feeding of the 5,000 into nothing more than a ritual action by Jesus, teaching it as an example of what you will enjoy today, of what the Lord will show compassion toward you with as He gives to you His body and blood. We have to be very careful of this, to diminish its importance, but to lift it too high and make it about what we do or what we receive. So with the announcement of the death of John the Baptist, just prior to our text this morning, and that's the context. It's important for us to always understand the context. John the Baptist has now lost his head. His ministry is now over. And with that, Jesus' ministry now shifts to a different gear. Jesus begins a period of His life here on earth in times of deep prayer, of being alone only with His Father. Jesus knows that His time is coming. Jesus knows that before Him is His cross. Soon He will come off the Mount of Transfiguration and He will begin His journey to Jerusalem to die for these people and to die for each and every one of you. These long periods of alone time with His Father involve many, many hours of prayer. Truly a lesson for each and every one of us. We need this alone time with our Father also. The way of the cross is now coming into focus for Jesus. He's now on His way to Jerusalem. He will now show Himself fully to be the Messiah, the promised one of old. Not a political Messiah, not a Messiah who will destroy the hated Romans, but a spiritual Messiah, the true Messiah, who will defeat the greater enemy of sin, death, and the power of the devil. Jesus will now show that He is the compassionate one. And in this context today of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, we hear this morning this special significance of this miraculous feeding. We hear of the fullness of our Lord's compassion. Compassion is such a wonderful word. You've heard it before from this pulpit. It's a word that your pastor loves saying. Esprachnizothe. You got to get that spit in your throat. But don't let it come out. Esprachnizothe. Jesus is pouring out His heart to the people. Jesus is being harassed by these crowds. Dear friends, we must understand that this pericope does not stand by itself. It is found in Matthew, it is found in Mark, it is found in Luke, and it's also found in John. It is the only miracle of Jesus recorded in these four books. And it's recorded this way on purpose because these four books all fit together just as a puzzle piece. When we read these texts together, as we did an adult Bible class this morning, you'll get a full picture of exactly what has happened. Jesus has now lost his cousin. John is dead. The people are harassing him 24/7. They are wanting this from them. They are wanting that from him. They want to be fed. They want to be healed. They never leave him alone. So Jesus' disciples have returned from their mission of proclaiming the gospel just to the house of Israel. So they come back and they begin reporting to Jesus. But all these people are around him. He can't understand what his disciples are trying to say to him. They need a time of rest. They need a time of contemplation. So they get in a boat and they cross from west to east, the Sea of Galilee, to a place called Bethsaida. That's on the eastern shore, the northeastern shore of the Lake of Galilee. Here Jesus takes his disciples and they go up on a mountain, and there he does his debrief, if you will, with his disciples, and here they find some rest. But the people, the crowds, they know, they hear where Jesus is going. They see him get in the boat. They follow him on foot. Now, it's only a 6-mile walk, something that you and I could do quite easily, right? We walk out the door, we go down to Wilshire Eastern, we walk down Wilshire Eastern into Wilshire, we go by Mike's Ice Cream Shop, not stopping, by the way. We keep walking down 124, we cross the bridge at St. Mary's, and we go up the little hill there, and we see Route 101. About a 0.5 mile short, we stop. That's 6 miles. An easy walk, right? In the military, we would do 20-mile force marches. This is a piece of cake. Well, this is what the people do. They follow Jesus along the shore. Some of the people get there before Jesus lands. He sees them, but still he goes up the mountain with his disciples. And when all the crowd arrives, as we hear in our text this morning, Jesus comes off the mountain and he sees the crowd and he has compassion on them and he heals them. For they are like sheep without a shepherd. This is the fullness of the compassion of our Lord. And Jesus is that full measure of God's compassion. This word, esplakonizothe, always refers to God's compassion, not our compassion. Our compassion is lacking. It does not match, doesn't even come close to our Lord's compassion. Think about it. The people are there because they think that Jesus is a great prophet and that he will do many things for them. But they don't believe that he's the Messiah. They don't believe that he is God. They're not there to worship him. They're to ask things of him so that they can have their belly filled and they have their sick healed. They're wanting from Jesus all the time. They're wanting, wanting, always wanting, but they're never willing to confess that he's the Messiah. Every time that Jesus is confronted with things like this, unbelief, faithlessness, darkness, how does Jesus respond? He always responds with great compassion. Jesus doesn't confront the darkness with his darkness. Rather, he confronts it with his great light. He confronts it with his great word. When he's confronted with unbelief, he confronts with faith. Faith in his Father. Faith in the work that his Father sent him to do. Jesus is always compassionate, even to those who truly do not believe that he's the Messiah. So Jesus shows his compassion by healing the sick. Can you imagine? carrying your neighbor or your brother or your sister or your son or your daughter 6 miles so Jesus can heal them. And you don't know if he's going to do it or not. You kind of have an idea that he might, but you're not sure. But when you see him come off the mountain, he has great compassion and he heals. He shows the measure, the deep, deep measure of his compassion by supplying an abundance. So, we now are also confronted with this very same abundance of his compassion. Not only, dear ones, are you confronted with it, you're actually clothed and covered by it at your baptism. It's important for us to hear what Paul wrote to the Colossians concerning this. Here's what Paul wrote. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing each other with all wisdom, singing psalms and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God, the Father through Him." This is what you're called to do, dear one. This is what I'm called to do. To show, to reflect that same light, to show the same compassion, to show the same kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, to forgive as you, as I, have been forgiven. That's compassion. But do we measure up? No, we don't. We don't measure up because each and every one of us are sinners. We break God's law daily and much, yet, even though we are sinners, we come before our Lord, and what does He do? He shows His compassion. "I forgive you of all your sin. Remember what I have done for you. Remember whose you are. Remember who you are. And as you have heard here from Colossians, give thanks to God. Give thanks God to Father through Jesus. For through Jesus you have life and salvation." So therefore, not only are you clothed and covered, but you are also inspired by His compassion. Again, Paul writes, this time to the Philippians, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ Jesus, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind." This is inspiring for us. Because you are a baptized child of God, you are clothed in Christ Jesus, you are covered by His blood, and now you are inspired to be as He was, to be compassionate to your friends and neighbors, to be compassionate to your husband, be compassionate to your wife, be compassionate to your mom and to your dad. Be compassionate to your children. Be compassionate to your neighbor, remembering that you are Christ and Christ lives in you and you are reflecting His light. That is the fullness of your Lord's compassion that is working through you and through me each and every day. To refuse to receive and to offer His compassion means to deny, to fully deny the love of God. So, dear one, each and every one of you are smack dab in the middle of this miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. For today you will be here, and He is present to feed you, not with fish, but yes, with bread and wine. To deny His compassion is to deny Him and His full essence. The one who has compassion on the masses, who fed the people because they are as sheep without a shepherd, is here. He's here this morning to stand before you and to announce to you, take and eat, take and drink. The miracle is no less astonishing as it was then, the same miracle today. Simple elements, Jesus takes and He gives a divine meal. But in this case, it's different. There at Bethsaida, the people's bellies were filled. Today, dear one, your souls will be filled with the forgiveness of your Savior. So today you will come and you will stand before your Lord and you will reach out your hand and He will give to you freely forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of your faith unto life and salvation, give to you freely His body and give to you His blood. This is His passion for you. This is His compassion for you. This is the fullness. This is the fullness of your Lord's love for you and for me. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.